Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I think I've got a cobweb in my drink.
Ooh. Wow. How old is it, mate?
When did you pull that, Chris?
Well, when I knew we were doing the Hollywood series, I pre-made them all.
Welcome to another episode of Mystery on the Rocks, the show where we make cocktails and solve unsolved mysteries. We're waist-deep in our Hollywood series where we are investigating the unsolved mysteries in Hollywood. Ooh. With me, as always, is the amazing Suze Kempner.
Hello.
And the fantastic Chris Stokes.
Hello.
Chris, you did your first big long live show last night, didn't you?
I was going to say.
Yeah.
After lockdown. Since the world changed.
Well, do you know what? It sounds dramatic, but there are literally no rules anymore. I know there are rules when it comes to lockdown, but now when it comes to like expressing yourself artistically, because we've had to do it via like Twitch and Zoom and all of this, then when you can start doing socially distanced outdoor gigs, it's like, I know this is the first time I've ever done this show, but why wouldn't I film it? Doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, of course.
It was literally my third time in front of a physical audience in like nearly 6 months. So it was like, I'd done three gigs to audiences since we could, but it was the first time I'd done an hour. It was pretty much all new stuff, which is crazy.
Oh my God.
But it was so much fun. Because there are no rules anymore. Doesn't matter.
Here's the funny thing, Chris. Maybe there weren't ever any rules.
We were being kept in little boxes.
Yeah, thinking that there are rules, but really the rules were in here. Listeners, I'm pointing to my head.
Mystery on the rocks. Oh, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah. Mystery on the rocks, yeah.
I got the video through today, and it looks and sounds okay, so I'm gonna try and make a nice little film out of it.
There you go.
Amazing. That's super cool. Yeah, and that's super great. You got your show out. That's awesome. That's really
cool. I was dead happy with it. Technically, it was the first preview, I suppose.
By the old rules,
By the old rules.
By the old rules.
By the new rules, it's my new special.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Exactly, man. What are we drinking, team? What do you have there, Chris?
So this is of my own making.
Ooh, that looks very delicious.
I saw what was in a penicillin, and I just sort of adapted it. So I'm going to call it a Calpol.
A Calpol.
What basically all this is, it's lemon juice and rosemary with a salt rim. And it's ginger kombucha and then a tiny little bit of heavily peated smoky whiskey.
Ooh.
Very nice. I like the sound of that. Calpol. I really like the sound of that. That's really good.
Calpol.
That's a good name as well. That's a damn good cocktail name.
Has it got a good kick?
No, because, so kombucha's got a bit of a kick anyway, but isn't technically alcoholic, although maybe it is because it ferments, but like it's not classed as alcoholic.
Gotcha.
And then the whiskey is really only to add a flavour.
Okay.
So it's one tiny half step away from being a mocktail, because the whiskey's the only thing in it, and there was only a little bit of that. So
For flavour.
You should probably, for the real sort of effect, is get it in one of those little syringes and just like kind of just squirt it slowly into your mouth like you would if you were playing Calpol to a kid.
Yeah, I should drink it with a little white plastic spoon.
Yeah, there you go.
That's how I admit.
If you're a bit older, you use the 10ml one.
That's right. Yeah.
But Chris is only on the 5ml one because he's not. If you're over 40,
I never said that this was a Calpol 6+. I was really disappointed when I started having Calpol 6 Plus because it didn't taste as nice as the regular Calpol.
Oh, really?
I remember it vividly. I was like,
oh. I've tried regular Calpol. It is fucking delicious. It's really nice.
Masood's like, addicted to Calpol. Yeah.
I'm convinced The Simpsons with the Flaming Moe and the Flaming Homer. I'm convinced that's why they did that. Because it's like kids' cough syrup being really sweet. It's cowpole. Yeah. You'd put cowpole in a... If you were to make a Flaming Moe in real life, you'd use cowpole.
Oh, absolutely. Oh,
it's a Flaming Moe.
My name is Moe, and that's what it's called, a Flaming Moe. What are you looking at? I'm a Flaming Moe. I'm Moe.
Do you remember Tixie Licks?
Tixie Licks
was a cough medicine for kids, and the advert was like a woman walking into, I guess it was the mum, walking into the kid's bedroom and giving the kid cough medicine, and the kid looked so fucking chill after they'd had it. And then there was a voiceover just like, Tixie Licks. I used to really want some like lovely bottle of Tixie Licks. I'd be like, yeah, that sounds great.
My favourite bit of that, Suze, is when you said, I assume it was the mum.
Yeah, I was going to say, just some woman.
It's a woman going in your kid's bedroom.
What are you drinking, Suze?
This is, it's a martini, gin and dry vermouth, with limoncello.
You could call it a cellist, and then people would buy that as a drink. They'd be like,
they would, wouldn't they? I could call it the cellist.
The cellist. Yeah, the cellist. Gives it a bit of prestige.
Hi, guys, this is the cellist. It's £14.
Yeah.
I haven't tasted it yet. Hang on. Oh, it's really lovely. Ooh, it's really nice. It's like martini with a zing.
Yeah, and also quite restrained for you when you said what
I know,
was in
I was
it.
Just thinking, like, it's normally I'm like, hello, I've got some dog's piss and I've put some vanilla essence in and a dash of
brown
beer.
In a pint glass for some reason.
It's just great big brown.
Big fan about how Suze goes about sourcing her dog piss when we know she hasn't got a dog.
We've got a mint plant that grows outside the front door, and dogs always pissing on it. So I just wait there with a beaker.
Stick a glass. Just wait there in the grass with a.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just like, I've got a little hat with grass on it, like in the army where you wear a hat with plants on it, and I'm there with my beaker going, come on, any minute now there'll be a dog with my jerry can.
A ghillie suit. That's what the snipers use. It's like looks like grass. You're sat there.
That's
in
it.
A ghillie suit.
I've got a ghillie suit. I've got my jerry can. That's a jerry can, isn't it?
Yeah, jerry can.
Jerry can. I'm like, come on,
just
Fido.
Holding it, waiting it. And you're just hearing the piss tingle in against the metal.
Yeah, and you just see your close up on my face going, yes.
That little fist pump from
Tom Cruise from The Firm.
There's an action movie montage as you get the piss back into the house.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's like right next to the door, so it literally just the music goes dun, 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 and then it stops because I just walk straight.
Yeah. That's it.
What are you drinking, Masood?
This is one from our early days. This is a Cerveza Nicola. So this is Campari, vodka, and some beer. Yeah.
Vodka, Campari, and beer? Mm-hmm. I don't remember having that one on the podcast.
Oh, it's very early. It was like from like... Oh, it was when we had the Michelada. So that must have been...
Oh.
It was the first drink. The first drink was that. And then you had the Michelada. And I think it's because the Michelada overshadowed...
That was Will Duggan, wasn't it?
Yes, that was Duggan, yeah.
Oh, before we do crack on, though, I feel like we should say that last week, Suze set a challenge to whoever it is that runs the Almonds and Champagne social media accounts with a very specific album cover. And they did it. They did it.
They did. Yeah. And they DM'd me first going, hi, we just want to check if this is okay because we've used your face. And I messaged back saying, guys, you can do what you like.
That's brilliant. I
saw
that.
It's not actually me nude.
Yeah.
So today is a big one. Today is the death of Superman.
Oh my God.
But it's okay, because at the end of the episode, Chris flies around the world really, really fast.
Yeah, goes back in time, and then everything's fine, right?
Yeah. The
Either
death
that
of
or
Superman.
He just comes back to life after many number of different Chrises, all from various different places. One of them is an android Chris.
I come back in a black cardigan.
In a black cardigan, then there's Chris Boy. It's Lil Chris.
Lil Chris.
There's Chris Dog as well.
Chris Dog. All of them claiming to be the real Chris Stokes, but we know. Suze and I know it's not the real Chris.
It's just us.
And then, and then Dean Cain's there for some reason going, can I have a go?
Yeah, and he's going, just like, vote Trump.
And everyone says, no.
So the death of Superman.
So this is George Reeves.
Yeah.
He was an actor, and his career didn't go the way he planned because he was in Gone with the Wind. He was a suitor to Scarlett O'Hara in that. He was like, oh, I think I'm gonna make it big, but he didn't. And the thing that he's most known for is playing Superman on TV. First of all, in a serial that was in the cinemas, Superman and the Mole Men, and then it became an ongoing TV series.
Fucking what?
Yeah, Superman. Is this like, because I know the Max Fleischer cartoons, they'd have like Superman leaping and flying and they couldn't decide which one he'd do. So like he'd be like, he can leap over buildings. And you'd see an episode of Superman where he's just jumping loads to places.
Because originally he wasn't, originally Superman couldn't fly. Yeah,
that's right.
The fact
that
he could leap a whole
Yeah, he can leap an entire building in one single jumping bound. Jump. Yeah.
To be honest, I approve of the change to the fact that he can fly.
Yeah, like make a man fly around. How else is he going to save Lois Lane? Well,
can you imagine the Christopher Reeve film in 1978? The tagline wouldn't be the same. You'll believe a man can jump over a building.
You believe a man? I think I just like, you'll believe a man can jump.
His career wasn't going to plan, even though he was world famous for being Superman.
Yeah.
He was artistically unfulfilled.
Cinema serials and the TV serials. Yeah.
Now, on June the 16th, 1959, he died of a gunshot wound to the head in his in the upstairs bedroom of his house.
Jesus.
So there was a party happening that he was a bit annoyed about. He'd gone down to tell them off about the noise and then ended up having a few drinks with them and then gone upstairs.
It's fucking Superman! Get in here, man! All right.
He was found naked in his bedroom, gunshot wound to the head. And obviously it looks like a clear case of suicide. However, there are some discrepancies and it is disputed to this day whether or not he killed himself or whether he was actually murdered.
Okay.
I see. Wow.
Basically, we can go whichever way you want with this. I don't know whether you know about the George Reeves case.
I know of George Reeves.
I mean Hollywoodland.
Yeah, so that was, and that gives three different possible explanations.
Yeah. Oh.
I haven't seen it, but apparently it's because no one knows what happened. It's kind of like a, what's the word? It is a biopic, but it's...
It's sort of a whodunit.
Yeah.
But it's not whodunit, obviously.
They take a little bit of artistic license and they
it's
give
like
you
what
three
done
possible...
It.
Yeah.
Ben Affleck is very, very good in it.
I don't know how, I'm not sure how best to do this, whether to say what happened at the party or what. Let's rewind.
Yeah, let's lead up to the party.
Rewind.
Explain a few things, because George Reeves had quite a tumultuous upbringing in terms of dramatic revelations, rather than I think he was raised sort of like fairly like comfortably, I guess.
Okay.
He was born in Iowa. Mm. Just at the start of World War One, and his parents were named Don and Helen. They separated very quickly after he was born, and he never saw his biological father.
Oh, this happened so much.
Helen then married a man named Frank Besolo, who adopted George as his own son. Basically, George's stepfather then adopted him as his own.
Right.
Then, 15 years later, so when he was about 15 or 16... That marriage ended, and when it ended, his mother told him that Besolo had committed suicide.
Huh?
Holy shit! I was going to say this when you said revelations.
Yeah, and it wasn't until years later that he found out that he was alive.
Fuck.
And not just that, but that also he wasn't his real father. That was when he found this out.
Okay, that is soap opera shit. Where he's like, "By the way, I didn't die, and also I adopted you." What?
Exactly. Exactly.
That's crazy.
So that's going to sort of. Is that going to fuck you up?
Yeah, that'll fuck you up.
There's a thing, isn't there, when you're... if you're a child and a parent, and that's ostensibly his dad, and they commit suicide, there's that feeling of... There was something I could have done.
Yes, like, you put the blame on him.
He may have felt for a lot of guilt that he didn't do enough to want to keep him around, and then he finds out he's alive? What?
Well, I don't know exactly how old he was when he found out that was a lie. But he was 15 or 16 when he was told that his father, his stepfather, who he thought was his father, had committed suicide. Jesus. But I mean, I don't know. It's weird that lie stuck for that long, isn't it? Surely, like when you're about 15 or 16, you can pull the wool over the eyes of somebody. But like, if you told a child, "I'm so sorry that they've done something and they're not coming back."
Hmm.
Like, that's a question that then they won't ask any other questions. Or at least if they do, you can keep lying to them. But if you're 15 or 16 and you're told, "Yeah, your dad's killed himself." Oh, wow. So what about the funeral then and stuff?
She must have told everybody, like, "He killed himself." And then people are like, oh.
don't tell George what really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The odds of him going out and finding him are too great.
Or like just seeing him around. What if it was like that dude who his family were like, there he is on the fucking cinema screen, the jerk.
I can understand her not caring about the ex-husband, right? Mm. And I can kind of understand maybe if she's not thinking straight, she'll lie to her own son about it. But like the severity of the lie, if found out, is going to impact badly on her from her own son when he finds out. It's like, why did you lie to me? There's that. That into it. So strange.
It is fucking odd.
I imagine it gave him trust issues. Just saying.
Potentially, yeah.
How could it not?
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's nuts. He spent his youth like acting and performing and boxing as well, which is probably why he was buff. Mm. Buff enough for Superman.
Mm-hmm. He had a Superman chest.
And it was while he was doing all that he met his first wife, who's... You know, this Hollywood series throws up a lot of interestingly named people. And we're like, oh, what a great name. His first wife was called Eleonora Needles.
Yeah, baby. Mm-mm. Eleonora Needles.
Eleonora Needles. You could write a novel and populate it with characters named after the most outlandish names we've covered in this Hollywood series. Oh, and people would be like, what the fuck? No way. His career started with Gone with the Wind, like this huge epic film, and he had not a big role, but a prominent one.
Gotcha. Yeah. In a film that was it was like Titanic.
Yeah.
It was the biggest thing.
Huge.
His career, despite that, never really took off the way he thought it would or hoped it would.
Do we know why? Are we getting to it? Why?
Kind of. I mean, like, I think maybe it could be down to acting choices, or it could just be the way the wind blew, I suppose. One of the reasons why his career stimmered a little bit is because, to rewind back a couple of years to the 40s, Pearl Harbor happened, and he was drafted into the military to fight in the war 17 months after Pearl Harbor. So he would have been in his late 20s. Yeah. So fighting age. So he had to go and do the military, and then he didn't act for a little bit while the war was happening. But in 1943, there was a war film made that he was in, and the director was a guy called Sandrich. He promised to make him a star, and then he was like, oh, brilliant, I'm away. And the director loves me, he's going to make me a star. But then shortly after completing the film, Sandrich died of heart failure. So
shit.
That was that gun.
Wow,
he's
really
like
unlucky.
Alan Partridge when there's like that new guy, head of light entertainment, Chris Hayes. Is that his name? Yeah, and he's like, Chris Hayes likes me. And he, as he's signing the contract, Chris Hayes like just coughs at his desk and then dies. And Alan Partridge is like, Chris, finish your signature there. Chris, are you dead? Anyway, that's what George Reeves was like with this guy.
That's fucking hell. He's got rotten, proper rotten luck, this guy.
So then he became Superman in 1951. At that point, television was fairly new.
Right.
So, and not only was it new, because the movies and Hollywood was booming, television was regarded as kind of like an inferior relation.
Crazy how that's changed.
And it has totally changed, noticeably in the last 15 to 20 years, where people like Julia Roberts will do a TV series or...
It's weird that De Niro hasn't been a lead in a TV series yet. It's probably on the cards.
Well, yeah, because Pacino has done Hunters, right?
And, yeah. He did that amazing Angels in America on HBO about 2004.
We're hunting Nazis. That's what we're doing.
But at the time, TV was this new upstart. Why would it compete with cinema? Here's the thing. Anyone could buy a cinema ticket and go along. Not everyone had TVs.
Right.
TV shows were cheaply made.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. Why would you watch it on a tiny, pissy little screen? There was lots of reasons why.
Do you know what, though? That's what people said about cinema.
True.
When cinema started in the 20s, started properly in the 20s, it was seen as vastly inferior to movies. To stage, even, to theatre, yeah.
And the thing is, because it was TV, he didn't work for very much money, and the contracts forbidded him from acting in other series or films. It was tied to Superman.
Right.
But he became hugely famous because Superman caught on. Mm-hmm. So he was a household name, kids loved him, he had a lot of fame. It's just that he was still always seen as a B-lister, and I think that got to him.
Right.
It was probably so fun for the first 2-3 years, and then suddenly he's like, I'm approaching 50, and
Yeah.
And I know we haven't got to the party yet, but I feel like all of this is relevant stuff. It kind of absolute. Is a cumulative thing. He divorced Eleanor Needles. And then he had an affair with a showgirl named Toni Mannix.
Toni Mannix.
She was a showgirl, but she was also married.
Ooh.
To the general manager of MGM.
Oh, holy what shit. Are you thinking, George?
Eddie Mannix. Now,
fuck.
According to, like, around at the time, it was heavily rumoured that Eddie Mannix, and I can believe this, given what we've spoken about in previous episodes and Hollywood, he was supposed to have had underworld connections.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't think studio heads were virtuous guys quite often.
And not only did he have underworld connections, it was also heavily rumoured. He was accused of murdering his first wife.
Jesus.
And he was implicated in the cover-up of the suicide of MGM's Paul Byrne that had happened previously as well.
Oh,
so
boy.
He wasn't a squeaky clean guy.
No.
This affair with Toni Mannix went on for a while.
Oh,
several years. By this point, he'd been playing Superman the whole time, because he played Superman for like 8 years. I think actually up until his death.
Yeah, he was still playing the part, wasn't he?
And also
yeah.
not really permitted to work anywhere else. I think he might have exploited some loopholes or got some leeway or renegotiated the contract as Superman went on, because he appeared in a few little films.
Okay. Georgie, wear the cape. Wear the cape when you're with me, Georgie. I like when you wear the cape.
And also, like his appearance on Isle of Lucy, he wasn't George Reeves. He was playing Superman.
Superman.
Yeah, right.
That show was very realistic.
So like, as the 50s were ending,
yeah.
he was hugely famous. It's just that he was really unfulfilled and quite miserable. In 1958, a year before he died, he called off the affair with Mannix and he became engaged to Leonora Lemon.
Oh my God, George, date a woman with a normal name. Yeah. You are ridiculous.
Leonora Lemon, she was a high-flying, she was a moved in high society. She was the daughter of a successful Broadway mogul.
And like lemon farmer?
She was the ex-wife of a guy named Jacob Webb. There's no reason why you should have heard of him. He faced charges of bigamy.
Oh.
Because he married somebody else while he was still married to Lemon. Anyway, after all of this, I think all of this coming to light, 3 days before he was supposed to marry Lemon, he supposedly killed himself, or he did die. It's just that his estate was left to Mannix.
Oh, shit.
Oh.
That's all leading up to the point of his death. But the thing about the party is very weird.
Okay.
So this happened on June the 16th between 1:30 and 2 a.m. Mm. That's according to the police report. The police did not arrive straight away because it took everybody there present 45 minutes to ring them.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, the police got delayed at the party. They're like, yeah, we'll go upstairs in a minute. This is fucking great. You tell me George Reeves was here? This is amazing. And then we should probably go upstairs.
It was his house.
Oh, right. The party was in his house and he told everyone to... Oh, right.
The people in the house at the time were Leonora Lemon, obviously his fiancée, three days before they were supposed to get married. A guy named William Bliss, a writer named Robert Condon, and...
Robert what?
Condon.
Condon.
Oh, right.
A woman named Carol Van Ronkel.
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, Van Ronkel.
He's like, does anyone want to come to my party? Only if you've got a crazy fucking name.
Yeah. Who's going to be there? Carolyn Van Ronkel? I'm there.
Oh, I've heard the Mistress Tim Tam is going to be there. And Jimmy Bumflaps.
What's your name? Ben? Ben what? Ben Smith? Get the fuck out of here. You're not coming to the party.
Get back in that car.
Carol Van Ronkel was there with her husband, who was a scriptwriter, and his name was Rip Van Ronkel.
Yes, it was. Of course it was. Of course his name was Rip Van Ronkel. Yeah.
Okay.
Does he, sleep for 40 years and then writes a script? What's his deal?
So according to these people that were all there, because they all gave statements.
I'm sorry, I just imagine that you've taken the statement and it's like, and your name? Rip Van Wonkel. Well, this is fucking garbage.
Yeah, it's just the police all going...
Try really hard not to laugh. Mr. Van Ronkel, who else was there with you? Oh, Bobby Condom.
And the police like...
Reeves and Lemon had been drinking with Condon. They had an argument at the restaurant in front of him, and then the three of them all went back home.
Yeah.
Okay.
So then about midnight, after Reeves had gone to bed, he went to bed by himself, an impromptu party began with William Bliss and the Van Ronkles.
Bill Bliss.
For fuck's sake.
Bill Bliss and the Van Ronkles. I mean, that's a fucking band right there.
It is stunning.
That's when Reeves angrily complained about the noise. Came downstairs and he told them off about the noise. He was trying to sleep and whatever. Anyway, after blowing up some steam, he stayed with them and had a drink.
Oh,
and
right. Calm down
little,
then.
With that little nightcap and, yeah. and the dressing gown and his little
cold cream, face covered in cold cream, like in Mummy Dearest.
The floppy nightcap has got the Superman S on it.
He's like, what's going on down here? So he joined them for a drink.
And then he went back upstairs, but in a bad mood, very noticeably in a bad mood. Okay. And then later on, they heard a single gunshot from upstairs, all of the guests.
Shit.
Bliss ran upstairs into Reeves' bedroom, found him lying across the bed, naked, facing upwards. His feet were flat on the floor, and he flopped back on the bed, and there was a gunshot wound to the head. And apparently, the pistol, 30 caliber Luger, fell between his feet.
Okay.
Okay.
Right.
But there was some discrepancy there, because there was contradicting claims between the witnesses, and shell casings were found in strange places around the room.
Shell casings, multiple casings.
Yeah.
Huh.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Well, so he had like a practice shot. He's like, I got to see this thing still works.
But they only heard one gunshot. They only heard one gunshot.
Yeah, that's
really clear.
So they say.
And then also, obviously, the people at the scene waited 45 minutes to call the police. So
because they were flushing all the coke. That's why.
It's
a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't make any apologies for delaying and calling the police because they were all hammered, basically.
Well, they've been partying for a while at this point.
And it was very difficult to get coherent stories out of them all.
Fuck yeah.
In the press at the time, Lemon attributed his alleged suicide to depression because his career was failing.
Mm.
Right.
But it wasn't failing, it's just that he wasn't happy in it.
Yeah, he was doing fine.
Exactly.
He was doing great.
He couldn't find any more work other than Superman. So I imagine that would get him down, of course it would. And the report she made to the LAPD said that he was depressed because he couldn't get the sort of parts he wanted. That's a direct quote.
Mm.
And then, apparently, at some point after he stormed upstairs, it's alleged that Leonora Lemon said he's probably going to shoot himself.
Oh, shit. She's like, he's probably
Then a noise was heard upstairs, and she said he's opening a drawer to get the gun. A shot was heard, and then apparently she said, see, told you so.
But she, like, you know, that, oh, God, I think it was suicide, but she could have gone like, oh, I said he was going to kill himself, and he did.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's like things like that can get misreported as they go on.
Yeah.
Of course.
And also, like, tone and inflections are an important thing. So she could have said, I said he's probably going to go and shoot himself.
Yeah. And everyone went, no, don't worry.
Yeah. And then she can, oh, was that him opening the drawer? Maybe he's getting the gun. Bang. See, I told you.
Yeah. Rather than see, told you.
Yeah. So you never know, do you? If you're not there. It's just the fact that there were discrepancies between their stories and the shell casings found in a weird place. That's what kind of started people asking questions. The bullet that killed Reeves was recovered from the bedroom ceiling and the spent shell casing was found under his body.
No.
That's weird. Because there's no
Very
way that could
odd.
Have.
Yeah, two additional bullets were discovered embedded in the bedroom floor and all three bullets had been fired from the weapon at his feet.
Right.
But all the witnesses agreed they only heard one shot and there was no sign of any forced entry or other physical evidence that another person had been in the room.
And they found, you said they found two other bullets?
Yeah, in the floor.
In the floor.
in the absence of everything else, despite all these questions being unanswered, they did officially rule his death a suicide, but there is enough there to ask
mystery for, it's on now a podcast for a reason.
Yeah, so like why did the casing end up under his body? And
the two in the floor, the two slugs.
And the bullet that killed him was in the ceiling. So he must have done that.
Yeah, because he could have gone under his chin, bang, and it could have gone into the ceiling,
But the casing ended up under him. So
would it have gone behind him?
Unless it fell down and then he fell back over it.
Possibly.
Even if he had the gun to his head, as in, let's say, his forehead, right? There's no way that would come out into the ceiling.
Yeah, no, it must have been.
Must have been under his chin.
Probably on an angle, and then it went...
Under the ceiling. Casing probably just bounced in some weird way and fell off.
Yeah.
The official story that Lemon gave to the police put her in the living room with all of the other guests at the time the gun went off. Mm. But there are statements from Reeves' friend and colleague from Gone with the Wind, a guy called Fred Crane, that put Lemon either inside or next to Reeves' bedroom at the time.
Oh, shit.
So there are some people that say she wasn't there when the gun went off in the living room with everybody else.
Yeah.
Bearing in mind, Crane wasn't there at the time. Oh. But he said that Billy Bliss had told somebody
Double
else
B.
that after the shot rang out, while Bliss was having a drink, Leonora Lemon came downstairs and said, tell them I was down here.
Oh.
Whoa.
So there's that to contend with. Then all of the other weird stuff about where all the bullets are. George Reeves' mother, who was still alive at the time, she thought the ruling was done with too quickly and too soon.
Oh. Yeah.
And she kept her attorney on to petition for a reinvestigation of the case as possible homicide. There was a second autopsy. The findings were the same as the first, except for a series of bruises of unknown origin about the head and body.
Oh.
Hey.
Not stunts from the show? No.
Well, I think like they would have shown up in the first autopsy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, then I think if they were there, they would have anyway. So maybe there could have been stunts from the show. That's a good theory as any.
It is.
Thank you.
Good sleuthing, mate.
But a month after the second autopsy, there was no evidence had been uncovered that contradicted the official finding. Yeah. This attorney announced that he was satisfied that the gunshot wound had been self-inflicted, told his mother that I withdraw from the case.
Oh.
Yeah, fucking hell, man.
And then people like Alan Ladd.
Oh, yeah. Sounds like a Alan Ladd.
He's You've famous. Heard of Alan Ladd, right?
Cheryl Ladd's dad.
It's a right.
She was an angel in Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, he was a he was a big star. He was in Shane.
Oh right. Yep. I just love the name, Alan Ladd.
He was such a fucking
Well, get this
lad.
As well, because Alan Ladd wasn't alone. Alan Ladd wasn't alone in being skeptical of the official findings. Right. Another man, he was an American actor. He was three times nominated for an Academy Award. Mm-hmm. And his name was Gig Young.
Gig Young.
I've never heard of him. Gig
him.
Young.
He's nominated three times, mate.
Three Oscar nominations, and I've never
actor.
Heard of him.
Yeah.
Oh, supporting. Anyone can get that.
they were skeptical of the official findings.
Yeah.
Hey, I found him. Hey, Gig Young would sleep with.
Oh, let's see.
He looks a little bit Sinatra-y.
Yeah, he does. Thought. And also, he looks a little bit like Duck Phillips in Mad Men.
Okay.
He was in They Shoot Horses, don't they?
Yes,
okay.
He was.
He needed one for that. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Oh, hello. Yeah. I see.
Masood would.
Yeah.
He looks like a naughty man, doesn't he? He'd go, hey, ladies.
It's
and we'd go,
it's that one where he's like, hey. He's there with the cigarette. Yeah. And he's like, hello. Like,
oh, yeah. Hello there. He's like got a light. And then,
that's it.
And then he just like, just with his hand, just goes, ooh, under the boob. Whoop, like that.
Yeah.
And you'd go, oh my God, he just did that without me even
Gig?
Noticing.
Gig?
Gig, stop it.
Gig is short for giggle, sweetheart.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you giggle and he's like, see, I told you. And you're like.
And then you keep giggling and then he's like, see? And then it's like a chain reaction.
And you can't stop giggling.
Until you end up sort of like giggling your esophagus. Inside out, and then you collapse convulsing and he's still charming you as you go.
Yeah, and you're like vomiting because it's so funny.
That's what they call the gig reflex.
Gig, you're filth.
They and one of Reeves's friend, a guy called Rory Calhoun, they all said no one in Hollywood believes the suicide story.
Whoa.
And there's been books and everything, and I think even in Hollywoodland, one of the Okay, so in Hollywoodland, the three scenarios are accidental shooting by Lemon, murder by an unnamed hitman, mm-hmm. under orders of Eddie Mannix, mm-hmm. for sleeping with his wife, or suicide.
Yeah. When you say the first one by Lemon, I just imagine like they come in the room and there is just a lemon sat there. Not his wife, just like a little lemon sat there with the gun next to Lemon. They're like, you gotta get rid of this gun. The lemon.
It's a lemon with a cigarette.
Yeah, like
plunged into
it. No one will ever believe you, see? So
those are the three scenarios put forward by Hollywoodland.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I mean, the idea that, because he got involved with Mannix's wife, Mannix was this well-connected man, been accused of murdering his first wife. And do you know what? Maybe they tried to make it look like suicide and bungled it with the extra bullets and whatever. Mm. This is quite interesting. Tony Mannix, the woman that he had the affair with, she didn't die until 1983, and she suffered from Alzheimer's before she did. And apparently, so this is 20 years ago, a publicist named Edward Losey.
Losey.
He said that Tony Mannix had confessed to a Catholic priest that she was responsible for having Reeves killed.
Whoa, okay.
But then she got Alzheimer's and could never.
So Losey said that he was there when she did that. When she confessed to having Reeves killed.
Whoa.
He made this statement on TV shows.
Whoa.
And then when Hollywoodland came out, he tried to seize on this and get himself known again and started repeating the story over and over and over again.
Losey.
But it was disputed. It was disputed by a guy named Jack Larson, who has the most boring name in the entire episode.
I know, Jack Larson.
Larson stated facts that he knew from his close friendship with Tony Mannix. He said that all of these things I know mean that Losey is lying.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay. But Losey said that he actually lived with and visited Mannix from 1979 to 1982, and on half a dozen occasions called a priest when she feared death and wanted to confess her sins. So
I see. Okay.
She did suffer from senile dementia, though.
Yeah.
Which could either mean she confessed to something she did do when she wasn't feeling very lucid, or she confessed to something she didn't do when she wasn't feeling very lucid.
Yeah. Right. And well, it's like there's that old war general, American war general who died in like the 70s or something, and on his deathbed, a lot of credence is given to the fact that he went, "The next war will be fought in the stars." And it's like, yeah, but he might have just been an old mad man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
She might have just been an old mad rampaging lady saying crazy stuff.
Yeah, it could be the truth, or it could be nothing at all.
Yeah.
And that's it, it's like...
And he could have made it up.
See, exactly. He could have been making it up to try and sell his book or publicity for himself. So basically, there's nothing, I think, in this story which isn't contradicted except for the fact that he died of a gunshot wound to the head.
Yeah.
So it's all a bit messy. So I think that's about it. But as Sue said, like, the most likely scenario is because he was miserable about being stuck playing Superman, wanting to do other things and not being able to. The drama of having had an affair with this married woman for so long, and then being engaged to marry a woman whose own marriage history was quite colourful as well.
Yeah.
All of this combined with the fact that he had major trust issues from his mother lying to him about his stepfather. And his own paternity.
Absolutely.
Is probably going to have contributed to the fact that maybe he would take his own life.
I reckon he did. And I also think that he was still in love with Tony Mannix.
Yeah.
But he'd ended it nobly, going like, it can't work and it will be bad for my career. He's got engaged to another woman who he doesn't 100% give a fuck about.
Everything was left to Mannix and not to Lemon.
I bet Lemon was
maybe if she offed him for that reason, but then you'd think she'd wait until they were married 3 more days.
And then that's what
I
would be.
She would do it. Good God, Lemon.
Some credence to the underworld thing of them knowing mafia people and the hitman, but it seems it's a little too much. Do you know what I mean? It's like it's like
It seems like everybody around now, everyone in every single story we cover knew hitmen.
And it's like,
I mean, dealings like with the mob. We're dealing with people in the upper echelons of Hollywood, I suppose.
They would.
So like, it's not fanciful that they would.
It's the two slugs in the floor that are probably a bit strange, but then again, weird. That could have been anything. He could have been testing the gun. He could have been, we don't even know which direction they were in. If they were like...
He might have been like drunk, depressed, quite narcissistic.
Yeah.
And he's gone, because at the end of the day, he was a working actor who was famous.
Yeah.
And he still was like, man, my career, where? And he's gone like, I'm going to shoot myself. No, I'm not. Shoots into the floor. I'm going to shoot myself. No, I'm not. Shoots into the floor. Then he actually does it.
Then he does it. Yeah. Yeah, completely. He could have completely... That's totally likely. I think I also... Strangely though, I also quite like the drama of Lemon going into the room and being like, you bastard, you gave all the money to Maddox, you son of a bitch. And he's like, you get out of here, you goddamn dame. I'm telling you, you go down to your party with all your friends and do your stinking drugs. I want
Why don't
crap.
You go make a load more noise, you loud woman?
Yeah, yeah.
He was quite PG with his insults. He was like, you're a loud broad.
Yeah, because also he's Superman, so very clean cut image. Absolutely. I reckon whenever he was ticking anybody off, he would put his hands on his hips like that.
Yeah. Let me tell you something, you crazy broad. I've had about enough of your lip, all right? I'm gonna
We all did a Superman pose over Zoom.
And then she's like, they're fighting over the gun, and then like maybe it goes bang bang, and then maybe it was an accident, and then she's like, oh
yeah.
Because the thing of her saying, I know it was completely dismissed, of her saying, don't tell anyone, I was downstairs.
Mm.
But the 45 minutes to call the police does feel a little bit like everyone's going, shit, we gotta get rid of the stash.
It's fucked up.
Yeah, that does feel a bit funky.
I think it's so strange because I can't think of any motive to kill him.
No.
Except, I mean, from the people in the house, there is a motive to kill him if Eddie Mannix was biding his time and being like, I can't believe he was fucking my wife for so long.
Yeah.
Like, he could, that I could believe.
Mm-hmm.
And he was accused of killing other people as well by proxy.
Yeah.
I could believe that he had it in for Reeves.
Yeah.
But anybody in the house, I can't find a motive at all.
Yeah.
But the thing that makes it such a cool story is this discrepancy of where the bullets lay.
Yeah.
And stuff.
There's also, I mean, the 45 minutes thing. Like, let's say for example, they're not getting their story straight. I mean, imagine if you're at a party and someone kills themselves. Mm. You're gonna be like, holy shit! Someone's gonna think we all did it. What the fuck do we do? And like, everyone's talking for 45 minutes, not because they're like, someone definitely did it, we're covering up.
They lose,
like,
track of time.
Yeah, they just go, fuck, someone we know is dead.
Yeah.
And there might even have been an argument about, do we call the police? Do we call an ambulance? Yeah, what absolutely. Do we do?
You got a whole...
Yeah, they fucking piss heads and, yeah.
Anyway, I would love it to be like a tale of murder by the mob or something.
Mm. Mm.
And you know what, I'm not ruling it out, but I think it's equally as likely that he just shot himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He could have just popped. Like you said, he was, I mean, we're going to add his backstory and where he was in his career to it.
That's why I felt like it was important to cover all of that.
Absolutely. It's like you sort of go, yeah, okay. You know, that's not too out of the question. Mm. Especially the revelation of finding out his dad wasn't dead. I mean, Jesus. And not his real father. I mean,
I know, there's a double whammy there. He found them out both at once. It was like, oh, by the way, your father didn't commit suicide, like I said.
No.
Equally, he's not your father.
Yeah.
I imagine it was his old father giving him the news, though. So he like sees him, he's like, dad? Oh, I'm not your dad. Oh, also, I'm not dead. What?
Superman himself, when he got older, found out his parents weren't his real parents.
Oh my God.
And he hadn't seen his biological father since he was a baby.
Yeah. So. Holy shit. So then George Reeves actually climbed on a spaceship, went back to Krypton.
Well, this is the other thing. George Reeves' death is the first point in the graph of this curse of Superman that people think exists.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And now people they squeeze it to fit.
Mm.
So for example, so Christopher Reeve had that horrible accident.
Yeah.
In 95.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then he died, what, 2004?
Was it as early as that?
Something
in my head, it was like 3 years ago, but obviously not.
Well, that's because you thought they've still got topics in celebrations. So.
Oh, yeah. I would like lose track of time. 2004, yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, so he died like 9 years after that.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're like, oh my God, that's another one.
Yeah.
Dean Cain played Superman and then said something cunty on the news, didn't he?
Yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, no, what he said was, I think where this all came from, and he started doubling down on it, was on a news interview. He said, I guarantee, this was in July, he was talking about cancel culture. And he said that anti-police rhetoric boils his blood.
He's such a piece of shit.
Yeah, so I mean, like, anti-police rhetoric, boiling your blood, choose your moment, because at the moment, the police are acting like cunts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, don't be. Yeah.
So he said that, and then he topped it off with, I guarantee you that today, in this climate, as Superman, I wouldn't be able to say truth, justice, and the American way. And then the news anchor was like, oh, yeah, you're so right. And then the current writer of the Superman comics tagged him in a tweet and went, listen, motherfucker, I put it in a Superman comic last month. and then had the panel.
Oh, shit. But
is that the curse of Superman? I don't know. Basically, I think they could then say, oh, my God, Henry Cavill, he played Superman in 2013. And then 53 years later, he's dead.
He's dead. Well, see, because it's funny, because I think who was I talking to? Someone said that the curse of Superman wasn't them dying, but it was their careers going nowhere.
Right.
And so it was...
That's kind of like, I guess that could be true, but look at Cavill. I think Cavill's
proven that wrong. And so I think so is Brandon Routh to a certain extent as well. He was in The Return of Superman, yeah. And so it's like, all the voice actors who play him do other things.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea of that being the curse instead of that's like, you play Superman and then you'll never get another role again. I guess that's kind of ominous, but maybe I'd make a lot of money out of that.
But I think maybe there are other reasons for that. I mean, like, Christopher Reeve was...
paralyzed.
I remember him being brilliant, but I don't remember him doing much other than Superman.
He's in The Remains of the Day.
Oh, yeah. And he did a version of Village of the Damned.
Did he?
Yes, he did. But, like, basically, I think that people weren't casting him because he was a risk if you cast him after Superman, basically.
Yeah.
In some people's heads.
He was incredibly young then when he played Superman. Because you think of, like, George Reeves. George Reeves would only have been, like, mid-30s. Yeah.
He was 37 when he played Superman
It's not old. It's 2 years older than me. But, like, literally, Christopher Reeve was mid-20s, which is crazy to think of.
Have you found anything in the archives, Suze?
Yes, I have, actually. So, Gig Young was married... 4 times, and his final 2 marriages were to a couple of women, sisters, if you will, and you will, because they were sisters. Third, then fourth wives.
That's interesting.
And they had to record separately while this. He was only married. The marriages to both of them spanned a period of 8 months, and he couldn't divorce those bitches quick enough. They had to, in this time, record separately. They didn't speak. However, they kept up with the recording and they recorded a song about George Reeves called The Man with an S on His Chest. I'll give you a clue. The initials A and C mean anything to you?
Air conditioning.
Assassin's Creed.
No, Assassin's Creed. You're closer. It was almost a champagne. Did you forget? Did you forget they're a thing? They recorded The Man with an S on His Chest separately. They weren't speaking at this point. It's now...
Do they sing every other word, Suze?
No, because I've got a very busy couple of days and they're probably going to be quite a simple little arrangement. So, this is The Man with an S on His Chest. Is it a bird?
Is it a plane?
No, it's George Reeves, and he's dead.
You tell that bitch that if she shows her face at the studio today, I will cut her.
We know about a guy who was in Gone with the Wind. Gunshot wound to the head, and he died. Career hadn't been stellar, much to his chagrin. But did George Reeves really commit suicide? Is she outside? I'll slash her goddamn tires.
You tell her to get out of here.
So the mother of George was highly suspicious that foul play caused the death of her son. He was so depressed cause he was very ambitious, but was murdered the way he was done.
I can smell her shitty cheap perfume. I know she's been here today.
Did you let her use this mic?
That pitchy slut will ruin this track anyway.
It was a fucking drinking game gone wrong. Champagne out.
Armin says, ew, Superman, who cares?
You'll believe a man can die.
I guess that's all for today. Thanks, girls.
There we go. It's story like of their, George Reeves.
It's like brilliant. Their version of All Star by Smash Mouth. You know, like that's the one.
It is quite like that, isn't it?
They always want them to play it. Yeah, that was. I didn't think I knew that much about George Reeves. I knew a little bit. I knew that he died, and I knew the sort of curse of Superman kind of nonsense.
And also, we jumped 10 years. We jumped from 1949 to 1959.
That's crazy. Yeah.
So, 50s was quiet in Hollywood.
Yeah, that was our only one in the 50s as well. We're in the 60s next week. The 60s are quite busy.
Okay.
Ooh. 3, 4, 5 in the 60s.
You can find us on all of the social medias. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Mystery on the Rocks, spelled ROX, if you want to follow us there. We're also on Twitch. What? It's the future. It's twitch.tv/mysteryontherocks, spelled ROCKS.
Every other Thursday, you can drink with us.
At 8 p.m. every other Thursday.
And we might show Masood some highlights from 90s British.
Yeah, last week we watched Noel's House Party with Masood, and it was a very classic evening. We had to pause it every 5 seconds because something crazy happens in that show every 5 seconds.
Chris is twitch.tv Chris_Stokes. Suze is twitch.tv Suze Kempner. And I
That's
am
it.
Twitch.tv Masood Miles. We're just doing shit on the regs.
Yeah.
So you can find us there. Email us as well. We're at mysteryontherocks@gmail.com. Rocks spelled ROCKS.
We love to hear from you.
And we'll see you next week for another Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yay.
We're a Hollywood podcast now. Bye, guys.
Yeah. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye. Bye.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row, dreaming of something better? Well, Hello Fresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.